soul. When you get up early in the morning, when you feel it in your soul.
This is At The Row. You're listening to WGSC 9.7 FM, 8 Rare. Pastor Austin. Radio is the greatest thing ever.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the Carey Center for Global Good in Rensselaerville, New York, presenting New York Times reporter and author Tim Weiner, discussing the CIA, FBI, and the powers of presidents. Saturday, March 2nd at 6 p.m. For tickets and information, call 518-797-5100.
Bet you're going fishing all of the time. Baby going fishing too.
The New York State Bureau of Fisheries is now offering a new full-color map and brochure, free of charge, for individuals who fish in the fresh waters of the Empire State. Providing information on over 400 lakes, ponds, rivers, and streams, the iFish New York Guide to Freshwater Fishing in New York State also offers guidance on fishing licenses, boat registration, and camping reservations, as well as color photos and descriptions of popular New York sport fish, all in a handy 4x9-inch format. The map is available at any Department of Environmental Conservation office or by mail. Requests by email should be sent to fwfish@gw.dec.state.ny.us with fishing map in the subject line.
Welcome to The Right Opinion, the very first segment of The Right Opinion with your host, Ed Furtick. I'm happy to be here, and thanks to the folks at WGXC for giving me the opportunity to be on the air with this conservative talk show, plus country music. Should be a lot of fun. This is WGXC, 90.7 FM, Ankara, Catskill, and Hudson. And I want to first tell you about the plans I have for the show going forward. It is a conservative talk radio show. We're going to have guests on from time to time to discuss important issues that everyone's concerned with. And we're going to try and look for some common ground between the left and the right. When I attended a function here at the studios a couple of days ago, it was amazing how much consensus we actually found between my views and some views which you would typically attribute to the left wing. And by the way, with me here in the studio today is the immortal Phil Grant. He's giving me a little emotional support today and helping out with the equipment. And as anyone who's ever done a radio show for the first time, I can't tell you how much I appreciate someone like Phil being here with me.
So Phil, you're doing just fine.
All right, Phil. So sit down and relax, Phil. I think you're too worried about me. Things are going to be just fine here. And Phil and I are going to be talking about certain things later on in the show. I asked him to stay because we had had a great conversation when I first met him, and why not do a little of that on the air? So this is a music show as well, and we're going to get into that in a little while. But the topics we're going to be discussing on the show moving forward are what you'd expect: abortion, guns, debt and deficit, government dependency, at least as far as the right is concerned, foreign policy. And in that regard, I want to point out that there is a meeting today in Hudson at 6:30 p.m. at 520 Warren Street. This is a meeting of the Legal Committee to discuss the banning of guns in Hudson. And, I mean, I'm personally revolted that this is even coming up, because I understand why a legal committee would want to meet to toss issues back and forth. But when it comes to abridging our constitutional rights, I don't think it's necessary. So all you Second Amendment advocates out there, if you want to show up at that meeting, I'm told it is a public meeting, voice your opinion. Taking guns away from good law-abiding citizens doesn't make our children any safer. It just makes them more vulnerable. It just makes the bad guys more powerful. But let's play some music, because music is something that liberals and conservatives can share. And I'm going to dedicate this first song to a birthday girl. That's Lee, who works over at Kamea. And this is No Thinking Thing by Trace Adkins.
I've been thinking about our love situation, all this attraction in the present tense. I've reached the only logical conclusion: love ain't supposed to make sense. This ain't no thinking thing, right brain, left brain, it goes a little deeper than that. It's a chemical, physical, emotional devotion, passion that we can't hold back. There's nothing that we need to analyze. There ain't no rhyme or reason why. 'Cause this ain't no thinking thing. Mathematical equations, self-help psychology, gray matter don't matter much, darling, when it's getting down to you and me. Oh, this ain't no thinking thing, right brain, left brain, it goes a little deeper than that. It's a chemical, physical, emotional devotion, passion that we can't hold back.
There ain't no rhyme or reason why. 'Cause
Welcome back to The Right Opinion. That was Trace Atkins with No Thinking Thing. I want to talk a little bit now about the abortion issue, because I know that's such a hot button issue between liberals and conservatives. And I was having a conversation with someone at that function I mentioned earlier about abortion. And again, we were pretty surprised at the areas that we agreed on. And she was clearly on the left and I'm clearly on the right. But yet she had something very personal that she was involved in. And and we had some agreement. And of course, then it came up that when there is agreement between the left and the right on an issue, do you really hear the media talking about those areas we agree on? No, it seems that they love controversy. They love to keep us as far apart as possible. And Phil and I will be talking about that a little bit together later on. Is that okay, Phil? Phil is motioning me to give him some microphone here. So.
There we go.
Okay, is that you,
yeah,
Phil?
You're great. You're great.
All right.
I'd like to remind everyone, as we are very excited to have you on board. And
thank you.
As in most of our shows on this subject, I have to remind everyone that WGXC 90.7 FM is a separate community radio station. And so the opinions that you hear expressed here are those of our guest and the guest of the guest, and not those of the station. And as you know from me, you've heard this a billion times, we always welcome your input. Go ahead, take it away. You sound great.
Thanks, Phil. And I'm going to leave your mic hot, because you could just pitch in whenever you want. I mean, I'm thrilled to have you here. So I'm leaving you hot. Feel free to talk when you feel like it. So back to abortion. I decided to talk about statistics and tell a little story in regard to abortion. I think a lot of people don't know the extent of abortion in the United States. I consider myself pro-choice, but the difference is that, you know, pro-choice implies there are two choices: giving birth and having an abortion. And I don't feel there's enough attention paid to the giving birth part. But let me tell you the magnitude of the issue. And by the way, I got these statistics from the U.S. Government Center for Disease Control, that evidently compiles federal statistics on abortion. Now, even that's upsetting to me. Why would the Center for Disease Control be the agency to track abortions? I mean, being pregnant isn't a disease. But anyway, in 2008, there were 1.2 million abortions in the United States. Now, I don't have my calculator here, but doesn't that come out to around 30 or 32,000 a week? 32,000 abortions a week? Now, whether you're on the left or the right, I mean, what is really good about destroying 32,000 human fetuses every week? According to these statistics, in 2009, in our state, in New York State, there were 119,996 abortions, and about 713 abortions for every 1,000 live births. Now, you say there are extenuating circumstances and the right has to be more understanding about it, but here are the statistics. 1% of these abortions are the result of rape. 12% health reasons. That's a total of 13%. The other 87% is other. So I'll leave it up to you to see what these other reasons are. But my point is it's a big issue. Now, my story is I went to see Vienna Tang, T-E-N-G, perform at Infinity Music Hall in the very liberal Norfolk, Connecticut. She's a Chinese-American woman, a very talented musician and singer, a YouTube sensation. And she was very well received by the audience. But at one point, she sat down to play a song, and then she got back up, walked to the edge of the stage. Nobody knew what was going on. What's happening here? She just stops in the middle of a song and walks to the front of the stage. And she says to the audience, you know, I wrote this hypothetical song about a hypothetical situation where I'm pregnant and I have to decide whether I'm going to have the child or have an abortion. So in the hypothetical song, I have the child. And so the song comes out, and she starts getting these, like, hate email from people on the left who are calling her a pro-lifer. And she finds that right-wing radio stations are playing her song, also thinking that she's a pro-lifer. So she said, no, look, I'm pro-choice. She's saying this to the audience. She says, I'm pro-choice. But doesn't pro-choice mean you're deciding between two options? She says, how come every time I hear a pro-choice advocate speaking, they're always talking about the abortion choice? They never talk about the giving birth choice. So the audience was stunned. They didn't know what to do. I mean, they had been giving her standing ovations for every song, and they were just stunned. So yours truly got up and gave her a standing ovation, because when I hear someone on the left tell it like it is, they deserve a lot of credit. Now, in all fairness to Vienna Tang, she is not a country western singer. However, I am going to make an exception to my music programming and play one of her songs, which you're going to like, because it's only fair. And this is not the song in question, by the way, but it is a great song. So I am going to press the play button, and hopefully Vienna Tang will come on with Harbor.
Street light, slow things.
right. That was Vienna Tang with Harbor, which I believe she performed on the Letterman show, who gets some credit for discovering her. I saw her in person a couple of years ago, and I was just amazed. She writes her own lyrics. She writes her own music. She's an incredible keyboard player, and as you can tell, her voice is amazing. So, back to the talk segment of the show. And I wanted to talk a minute about the U.S. Constitution and terminology. You know, in the beginning, when the Constitution was written by those brilliant people who wrote it, they were taking into account their knowledge of what was going on in the rest of the world. And, of course, they wanted this country to be better. They wanted it to be more liberal than other parts of the world where there were kings and queens and there was government over the people. They wanted the United States to be government for the people and by the people. The Constitution was a liberal document. Now, over time, there were people who thought the Constitution was flawless, and those people who interpreted it literally and loved what it stood for, they started to be referred to as conservatives because they were interpreting a liberal document, the Constitution, in a conservative fashion. There wasn't much leeway. They liked it, so they interpreted it conservatively. And then there were individuals who, as someone said to me recently, there were those who felt it was an evolving document, that it wasn't set in stone, that, hey, if you need to change it, you change it. It's not as spectacular as those who are interpreting it conservatively think. So it's interesting that there were the people that believe the most in the liberal document called the Constitution started to be referred to as conservatives because they were interpreting it conservatively, and those who were interpreting it liberally were called liberals. And that's about how that terminology came about. I'm trying to reach over here. If you could get me that copy of the U.S. Constitution, that little pamphlet that I'm keeping here in the studio, which was out of reach. Thanks, Phil. Phil, is your mic on? You're good? All right. I decided I should probably read a little piece of the Constitution every show. Really, who is... read the Constitution in the last 20 years. I'm going to go over to the Bill of Rights, if I can get to the right page here. And, Amendment 1, the Bill of Rights. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free speech thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for redress of grievances. So this to me was a clear attempt to give power to the people. And of course, Amendment Number 2, which is in the news today and has been for quite some time, is a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Shall not be infringed. Do you hear that, legal committee of the Hudson Common Council? All right, so that's the reading of the Constitution for today. And I'm going to attempt to load a record here.
Now, while we are getting that ready for you, we do have a public service announcement for you. Never mind.
Baby, what do you say we just get lost? Leave this one horse town like two rebels without a cause. I've got people in Boston, ain't your daddy still in Des Moines? We can pack up tomorrow, tonight let's flip a coin. Heads Carolina, tails California, somewhere greener, somewhere.
Listening to WGXE 90.7 FM. Before we get back to the programming, we have an alert from Columbia County due to an accident at 9:45 a.m. New York 22 is closed in both directions at County Route 7A until 2 p.m. in the town of Copaig. Let's do that one more time. New York Route 22 is closed in both directions at the County Route 7A until 2 p.m. in the town of Copaig.
Thank you, Phil. Hey, Phil, what's the name of your show?
Actually, it's the WGXE morning show.
All right. I actually knew that, but I'm trying to let you pitch your show here. And I listened to it this morning, and Phil is in the studio a lot. He goes for a long time, and there's a lot of content, and wow, I want to be like you when I grow up, Phil. You think I can be like you when I grow up?
Don't do that to yourself.
Really? I don't know. You're my radio idol so far. You know so much, and you taught me quite a bit 15 minutes before I came on the air.
Well, you sound like a pro.
I sound like a pro. Yeah. Oh, my God. The earphones are like popping off my head now because my head is expanding like rapidly. I was actually a radio man in the United States Navy, but as I told someone else, I didn't have to be entertaining.
That's correct. That's correct.
So now I'm supposed to be entertaining. So I hope you folks out there are being entertained a little bit. You can listen to my right-wing diatribe and then chill out to the music.
There you go.
I don't know of any other format like this. It gives you a chance to take a breather. But I wanted to switch the conversation now. And by the way, in future shows, when we're probably not going to jump around as much. We're probably going to have a topic and stick to it a little bit. And, you know, I'll have people on talking to me. But I'm jumping around a little bit right now just to show you who I am. And one thing I wanted to talk about were my college days when I... you know, in those days, you had the hippie stuff going on, and there was that slogan, power to the people. I think that was probably the biggest slogan then, or, hey, LBJ, how many kids have you killed today? You know, stuff like that. But, I mean, power to the people was a very powerful slogan, and I really... Who wouldn't want that, really, when you think about it? I mean, what person wouldn't want to have more individual power over their lives? When I was, I forgot which course it was, but I was taking a course and, you know, we were talking about differences between political parties, and it was clear to me then, and I think everyone can agree now, that one of the big differences between Republicans and Democrats, and by the way, I'm not a Republican. I don't consider myself a Republican. I'm a conservative, and as you know, there's somewhat of a little battle going on between conservatives and mainstream Republicans. But the main difference was that Democrats tended to believe more in a strong central government where the government is involved a lot in our everyday lives, and when there's something that needs to be done, it's okay for the federal government to do it. And especially if they do it well and cost effectively, that doesn't sound all that bad, but as we all know, that doesn't really happen. But my point is that it was the Democrats, and it still is Democrats, that believe in a strong central government. And there's nothing wrong with that, to believe that. Republicans believe more in states' rights, more power to the states. They believe more in individual rights and probably you could say that power to the people is the same as we the people, and Republicans certainly, conservatives certainly, believe in we the people. The people should be controlling the government. The government should not be ruling over the people. It's government for the people and by the people, not government over the people, which I fear is what's happening now. We've moved into a situation where it's really government over the people. Everything is being dictated to us. So my point is that I feel that power to the people, that slogan belongs more on the right side of the spectrum than on the left. I'm sure there's lots of people out there listening who disagree with me, but that brings me to part of the show where I just want to get you in here, Phil, because when I met you, Phil, I think I had barged into your studio while you were on the air, and we got to talking, and am I wrong that it would be fair to say that you're on the left of the political spectrum? Would that be fair?
I'm a bleeding heart pacifist. Yes.
A pacifist. Okay. Well, does that make you on the left side of the spectrum?
I don't quite know. I try to avoid labels. I just describe myself as I am.
Okay.
So most of my feelings seem to come down on what is called liberalism.
Okay. So I'm trying to establish for the audience. I'm not trying to put you on the spot.
Oh.
I'm trying to establish for the audience that you're not a crony of mine.
No.
And that this isn't a setup.
No.
You know, where I had like some right winger.
I think they know me.
Yeah. Right. So it's not like I had a right winger come in here with me to have this conversation. He's
no.
clearly on the left. I'm clearly on the right. But our first conversation was about the relations between people on the street who were on the left and who were on the right. And I had said to Phil that I felt the media, if there was agreement on certain aspects of our beliefs, the media certainly isn't talking about it. They like the controversy. What do you think, Phil? I mean,
I don't think it's hard to exploit human nature. It's in our DNA. We are territorial. We are tribal. But we are also intelligent, and we should be intelligent enough to know that we all live on this globe together. So regardless of what your political opinion is, you shop at the same place. You drive down the same roads. We share everything. Every day, when we go to work, we share with the person that we work with. You know, we don't necessarily like everyone that we work with. We don't let it affect our job. We do our job. And sometimes we need to apply that philosophy to politics.
So, and I don't want to steer this conversation towards our folks in Washington. I want to talk about people in the street and how the left and right, you know, gets along in our day-to-day lives. Now, when you hear someone say something at the cafe that you don't agree with politically, what do you do? Do you walk away? Do you internalize it? Do you?
I don't get myself into a position where I argue policy as if though it's religion. It's just policy. And it's as simple as that. It's just a policy. One person believes in one policy. The other one person thinks one policy is best. The other person thinks the other policy is best. Where we go wrong is when we turn it into a religion. Like we're going to just kill each other because we don't agree with on a particular policy.
Right. So I think what you're saying is that if you hear a conservative going ballistic over, you know, let's say Harry Reid on the left, or if you hear a person on the left going ballistic over a Rush Limbaugh, how do you feel about that? You're dismayed?
I'm dismayed at both of them. Is because there is no reason. There's no reason to go ballistic over the guy next door neighbor who might belong to the Tea Party. There's no reason for me to love him any less because of what he's associated with. Heck, I might have a flat tire one day, and he might have an air compressor. You know what I'm saying?
That's very good. I'm going to try and load a song, by the way, while we're talking. So if I make a mistake here, Phil, you just come right.
You're doing pretty good.
Okay, that's ready to go.
All right.
I got a few notes in there that I didn't want. But I love what you had to say. And we're in a situation right now in this country where conservatives won't go on a date with liberals and liberals won't go on a date with conservatives. And, you know, people know what your beliefs are and you hear them whispering behind your back and, you know, that's that guy who he has a gun. He owns a gun. And we all just got to get along a little better because there is some commonality. Anyway, one of the things that we agree on is that America is a great country. And I want to talk about the next song. The gentleman who did this song is very unusual in the sense that he charted with the song when it was first released. Then years went by, and he charted with it a second time. This was during the Iraqi War. I mean, who does that? Then, when Manhattan was attacked for the third time, or for the second time, I should say, his song charted a third time. And this time, it reached number 16 in the charts. And that gentleman is Lee Greenwood. I'm going to play a live performance of his. The song is God Bless the USA, and here it comes.
Tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life, and I had to start again, just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. The lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, Detroit down to Houston and New York to LA, where there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the
All right, that was Lee Greenwood with God Bless the USA. Wow, that's pretty powerful. So here we are back, talk segment of the show. And I just wanted to reiterate what we have planned for the future. The name of the show is The Right Opinion. And I'm going to be, and I'm Ed Furtick, and we're going to be on, I'm going to be on every other Wednesday at 10 to 11 a.m. And maybe I'll be standing in for other people once in a while. That will be fun. I want to be involved with the station as much as possible. And we're going to have guests on the show occasionally to talk about important issues. And I'm having a little note written to me right now, so let me read this little note that's being written. Yeah, and now in the future, when I get comfortable in the studio, I'm going to start taking calls. Also, I'm going to give you my Twitter, which is Ed Furtick at HV Survival. So that's Ed Furtick at HV Survival. And you can tweet me. And again, in the future, when I get a little more comfortable here in the studio, we will be taking calls now and then. So I'm going to wait for Phil Grant to get off the phone because we need to begin the next segment of the show. And how you doing over there, Phil? Okay, we're almost there. How you doing, Phil? Welcome back.
Okay, all right. Well, you got your first comment, actually. It was a compliment. Yeah. It's somebody from the other side of the political spectrum. And they of course, they're anxious to know when they can get in and exchange ideas. And I explained to them, you know, first day out. Good, you know.
Yeah. No, Phil's here helping me work the keyboard, so I'm not up to bouncing calls around.
The phone system here.
I'm not trying to avoid anyone. We were expecting a rousing reception to this show. Mm-hmm. And again, in regard to Twitter, that's Ed Furtick at HV Survival, and I'm anxious to hear from you.
Well, that's what the caller said. The caller said that he was really glad to hear someone from the opposite side of his, with a view opposite of his. So, and that's what we've been wanting to do. Lynn Sloniker and Shanika McIntosh have been working very hard to try to make that happen. So take it away, Ed.
Yeah. So that's good. Now, was this person in my family?
No.
No?
No.
Could I think, do I owe someone $5?
No.
I mean, I got a compliment from a liberal. Come on. I think it's a setup. I think this person wants me to get in trouble with conservatives, so they're complimenting me. Anyway, you know, I want to get back to the music segment. What do we have here? We have like 8 or 9 minutes left. There was this little girl, I think she was around 10 years old at the time, who wanted to be a country western singer. She was a native Texan. And her dad took her to the Arizona State Fair. And this little girl had the audacity of seeking out the manager of this Arizona State Fair, approaching him and basically asking him, hey, can I go up on the stage with one of the country western singers and sing with him? So he looked down at this little girl and he said, well, sweetheart, you could sing to me. And she sang a tune for him, and he was so impressed, he did, in fact, put her up on the stage alone. That young girl's name was Tanya Tucker. Mm-hmm. Later on, there was a superstar country singer performing there by the name of Mel Tillis, and he was so impressed with what he had heard that he said, Tanya Tucker, where are you? Come up here and sing with me. Mm-hmm. So on day one, little Tanya Tucker was performing before a major audience with one of the superstars of country western music. And this song is a live performance by Tanya Tucker, "My Arms Stay Open All Night." And when you listen to this, think about WGXC, because our arms stay open to you all night. Now let's hope this thing plays when I hit the play button. Tanya Tucker, "My Arms Stay Open Tonight."
Oh, you like the nightlife, the parties and the fun. You like to hang around until the last song has been sung. But I have made arrangements and I wanted you to know, when all the laughter's ended, there's still some place you can go. After midnight, just before the break of day, anytime you need me, it'll never be too late. My arms stay open all night, sundown till the morning light. Hoping you can find where we belong, I leave the lights on.
Tucker, "My Arms Are Open Tonight." Wow, she's really special. Well, Phil, how are you doing?
All right.
I wanted to ask you about your first experience on on radio. What was your first time like, Phil? Ooh, I don't know. That didn't sound right. Okay.
Well, actually, I attempted to go into radio a long time ago, some 40-some odd years ago, when I got out of the Army. And I went to the New York School of Announcing and Speech, and I got my third-class FCC license, and I sent out my audition tapes, and I got several acceptances. But at the time, and this is dating myself, in the late 1960s, the top level of communications was teletype. And I
remember that.
I was a teletype operator from the U.S. Army. So I had what was called a good job, you know, $150 a week.
Whoa.
So that was a lot of money. And so I had to make a choice between becoming a radio personality in some little station for $200 a month or staying in New York with her, and I chose to stay in New York. 45 years later, I retired and moved up here, and this station gave me the opportunity to fulfill my dream, and I haven't looked back since.
All right. Thanks for that, and we're going to close with a little more.
One more thing.
Yeah, go on.
As Ed pointed out earlier, there is a meeting tonight at 6 o'clock, and I hope that the folks in Hudson will demonstrate to the rest of New York how civil people behave when they disagree.
Absolutely.
With okay? I mean, everybody just be cool. You're just neighbors. So I really hope that we see that tonight.
Thanks, Phil. I agree with that, but I do want people from both sides to show up.
Yeah, you can be as you can be as sincere as you want.
All right.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life, and I had to start again, just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American.